We're looking at the seven feasts of Israel, which are God's outline of His redemptive plan for planet Earth. If you understand the prophetic teachings of the seven feasts, you know what God is going to do, the great days that God will act, and you can almost figure out by the hour. And the first, of course, was Passover. And Jesus died the very hour on Passover, the Passover lamb died. He arose on the third feast, the very same day the priests officiated the third feast. The fourth feast was Pentecost. It happened the very day that Pentecost fell. The next that we looked at was the Feast of Trumpets. That is the one coming up next. The next great day in God's redemptive plan for earth will be the celebration of the Feast of Trumpets. All these feasts are celebrated every year by the Jewish people. But I don't think they understand the prophetic nature of the feasts. And we've already looked at the Feast of Trumpets. And in between, you remember the Feast of Trumpets, you have 10 days to the Day of Atonement. And that's feast number 6. The in-between period is known by the Jews and called the Awesome Days. The Day of Trumpets begins judgment. It's known as Rosh Hashanah. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, closes the books of judgment. And what God decides on Yom Kippur to do with you is a final judgment. Now, the Jewish people look upon these as being a year-to-year ceremonial event. But we're talking now about something prophetic, and that's a little bit different. We're down to the last look at the sixth feast, the Day of Atonement, which really is nothing but God's redemptive plan known as the Second Coming of Jesus Christ. From this study, because God has kept all these days so completely, I believe that the rapture will take place on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet shall sound and we shall be gone. But that shall begin the awesome days for this world. Days of judgment, days of trouble like the world has never known. And Jesus said it will be so bad that unless the time was cut short, no one would be left alive. There are different estimates. Some say one half of the world's population will be killed. Some say two-thirds of the population of the world will be killed during the awesome days, just prior to the Day of Atonement. So I think Jesus Christ will come back a second time on the Day of Atonement. God always does things according to the calendar of His feast. The last feast, the one we'll go into next time, is the Feast of Tabernacles. And that'll begin the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Him on the earth as King. And we'll look at that as best as we can. The days between the awesome days are known in the Bible often as the Day of the Lord. You'll find this expression over 200 times in the Bible. Again, as I mentioned to you from Daniel last time, he says these periods called 7 years in which God brings judgment up on the earth. Isaiah 13. If there's so many scriptures that I have given you tonight, more than I'm afraid I'll ever be able to read. But all of these are not the sum total. There are many others. I'm just picking some. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6 through 11. How? For the day of the Lord... There's that expression now. The day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty God. God's judgment upon a sinful world. It deserves it. It's going to finally get it. Therefore shall all hands be faint or weak, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails, that is, gives birth to a child. And they shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord, there we are again, comes cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay desolate, that is, the land and people, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. In the first 3.5 years of the awesome days, 1/4 of the population will be killed. 1/4 around the world. The stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Just before Yom Kippur, I believe it's now, God is going to darken this whole world. Total pitch black. And then all of a sudden, like lightning, he says, you look in the sky, and he'll light it up all by himself. He'll light it up. You'll not mistake this. And his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogant of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. And that's just one of many, many scriptures like that. During the last half of the tribulation days, it'll look very bleak for the Jewish people. At this point, and I cannot go into all of this, anti-Semitism will really reach a peak in world history. Around the world, and especially because of the Antichrist, Jews will be hunted down and killed. At the midway point, God is going to take a remnant of Jews in Israel and Jerusalem and hide them in the wilderness in that area. It's found in Isaiah 26 and Revelation 12. I read that to you last time. And they'll be saved and spared during the last 3.5 years. But the other Jews, wherever they are living, will be hunted down and found they will be killed. By the end of the awesome days, just prior to Yom Kippur, which is the coming of the Lord, by that time 2/3 of the Jews will have died. There will be a remnant left of 1/3. So how do you know that, preacher? Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David. And remember, the Day of Atonement is when Israel, through the high priest, was to gain mercy from the mercy seat. During the tribulation period, the Jews will finally come to the point and realize that they're going to be doomed unless their Messiah comes. And they're going to be crying out, God, have mercy on us Jews. Have mercy. Now, you find mercy from God on the mercy seat. That's the whole story of the Day of Atonement in the tabernacle. And I can't go back into all of this. Now, notice what God says. In that day, the day of the Lord, and the closing of that, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David. A fountain of mercy. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for their sin and for their uncleanness. And that's the kind of mercy you get at the mercy seat, is pardon for your sins. The day, the awesome days where the Jews are to be spent in repenting. And it's on Yom Kippur they'll find out whether God has forgiven them or not. So here God is saying, at last for the Jewish nation, I will cleanse them of their sin. Jews are not too interested really in that, or not many people else. Or if you will, verse 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, 2/3 of the Jewish people shall be cut off and shall die. He tells you. And the 1/3 shall be left therein. And I will bring the 1/3 through the fire of the awesome days. I'll refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name. And we're going to find out they're going to call on the name of Jesus. They're going to call on their Messiah. And I'll hear them. I'll hear them as their high priest. Jesus is now the high priest. And the high priest went into the holy place to gain pardon upon the mercy seat. And the high priest will hear their call. Hear their repentance. And the high priest responds. We'll see this in a few minutes in Psalms 110. The high priest will, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. God has not given up on the Jewish people. He has a plan, and here it is. And they shall say, and I'm going to put some words in here now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our God. Now, I put that in there, Jesus Christ. You won't find it in Zechariah. But I'm putting it in there now. That's what they're going to say. I'll show you in a few minutes. That's what they're going to say. And they're going to say it crying and weeping. But they're going to say it. One third shall be spared. And we'll go on and find out if every one of the one third will accept Christ. Wholesale evangelism. At the end of 7 years, you'll have the war you've all heard about since you were kids. The Battle of Armageddon. The war of all wars, if you want to call it World War III, whatever you want to call it. We know at least there'll be 200 million soldiers from the East, China, and wherever else. 200 million. There will be millions from Europe and millions from Africa and millions from Russia. And the area, they will all gather together. There'll be soldiers for 200 miles in every direction in Israel. Too high, almost to Dallas. Past Tyler, Waco, San Antonio. Nothing but military might of the whole world. And they've been drawn to Jerusalem. That's not the place to be. Not the place, but that's where they're all going to be. And there'll be the Battle of Armageddon. And you can understand how the Jew feels as he sees this massive number of people coming upon the little nation of Israel. Unbelievable. You have no chance. And so you can understand how they, as they face annihilation, cry out, God, if you don't send the Messiah now, you can forget him. This will be the end of us. And Jesus admits this will be the end of the world if something wasn't done. And that's exactly what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. God will celebrate a prophetic Yom Kippur, a prophetic Day of Atonement, when he brings mercy to the Jewish nation from the mercy seat, not on earth, but from the mercy seat in the tabernacle in heaven. Oh, that's interesting to me. I enjoy this. This is going to be Israel's national Day of Atonement. As I said, when Israel shall be repenting, their national day of repentance. It's that anyway. Jews all around the world, every Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, it's their days of repentance. But this shall be a national day of repentance unlike any they've ever known. And as World War III is at its peak, and everything, as they are warring each other over there, trying to end up with world domination, as this all takes place, the sky gets dark as pitch. And then it lights up. And then they look in the sky. And here comes the high priest. With mercy. From the mercy seat for the nation of Israel. And he comes to Jerusalem. And where his feet stood when he left this earth and ascended into heaven, that's where his feet come right back down. Right there on the Mount of Olives. And he goes into Jerusalem. As the mighty warrior, the Messiah, the Jews have been looking for ever since Adam and Eve. There he is. There he comes. And he, as he comes to this earth and is seen by the warring armies, they decide to unite and do their best to destroy him and get rid of him. Now let's look at some scriptures. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. I know a lot of folks don't like prophecy, but I tell you, I can just see God getting excited. The Jews ought to be getting excited, but I mean, I can just see God getting excited about what's coming and what he plans to do. His great day is coming. I have a hard time finding Joel at times, and this is one of them. Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near and let them come up to Jerusalem, come up to Israel. And they take the plowshares and you make swords and the pruning hooks and make spears and let the weak say, I'm strong. Nobody can conquer me. We're the winners. We're the victors. We're the mighty ones. And so assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about Jerusalem. Call the mighty ones, the mighty warriors to come down. O Lord, let the heathen be waked up. Come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's Armageddon. For there I will sit in judgment on all the heathen. I'm going to change this now. Armies all about me. Put in the sickle. The harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, millions in the valley of Jehoshaphat. In the valley of decision, the day of the Lord, there it is again, is near in the valley of decision. God's decision to destroy the wicked on the earth. The sun and the moon shall go dark. The stars shall stop shining. And the Lord shall roar. Shall roar out of Zion. And utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord, now notice this, will be the hope. Their hope is in their Messiah. And the Lord will be the hope of his people at that moment, and the strength of the children of Israel. And you shall know at that moment that I am the Lord your God. Dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain, then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Zechariah, chapter 14. We'll just read as many scriptures tonight as we have a chance. Zechariah, chapter 14. Verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I shall gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. And I can see them at this point. Oh, God, send mercy. We've had it. I mean, there's nothing left. Where, O Messiah, are you going? Half is already gone. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought back in the Old Testament days of battle as he took the promised land. Now notice, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Remember that feet now, because that's going to be an important thing for you in just a minute. Remember that. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst. Earthquake in half, and there shall be a great valley. It's not there now. Half on the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of the mountain shall go towards the south. Awesome days. The Messiah to the Jewish mind is a man. They're always looking for a superman. They've never believed he was divine. They never believed he was the Son of God. That was one of the things they had against Jesus. They never believed that he was God Almighty himself. They never believed that he would be the Lord. And now you notice the one who's going to come, who's going to fight, who's going to put his feet on the earth in Mount Zion, the Mount of Olives, is the Lord. is the Lord himself. So as I say, when he appears, the armies shall turn their guns on him, and there shall be a great warfare. Psalms 2 talks about this moment in history. Interesting psalm. But as you look at it in light of what I just talked about, you begin to get the story. Why do the heathen rage? The heathen kings who are doing battle at Armageddon. And why do the people imagine a vain thing that they can defeat God Almighty in battle? And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. They hold a real quick meeting of the warring parties. And against his anointed, there's your Messiah. The anointed one. That's what Messiah means. Anointed. Anointed prophet, priest, and king. He's anointed. And they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. That is the Lord and his Messiah. The Father and the Son. Cast away the cords from us. And God in the heavens laughs. You guys got to be kidding. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And he says, I'm going to set my king up on the holy hill of Zion. And I'm going to put this in there now. You boys can like it or you can lump it. But that's what's going to happen. And I can tell you who's going to win this war, fellas. But you can go ahead and fight me. And they will. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That's the Messiah. And to his son, he says, son, ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance. And the uttermost parts of the earth shall be your possession. And the son now says, I claim your promise. I'm coming for my possession. What about those that do war with him? He shall break them in half with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And he says later on, you better wise up, boys, and not take on my anointed. But they do, as the Bible tells us. Look at Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Just how close are we to all this, people? I don't know. Man, the Feast of Trumpets could happen just any time. Any time. Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this that comes from Edom? That's the Messiah, I'll tell you. And look how he's dressed. He has dyed garments from Basra. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, might to save. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel? It looks as though you've been walking in a vat of wine, grapes. I mean, you're dressed in fine clothes, but you got grape juice all over your clothes. And he says, there's little stars by my scriptures, it may be like yours too. I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people there was none with me to help me, but I did it by myself. And I tread them in my anger, not the grapes, but people. I trampled them in my fury, and their blood was sprinkled on my garments, and my raiments were stained. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeem, that's the Jews, the time has come for me to redeem my people. And I looked, and there was none to help me. And I wondered, why not? But with my own arm, now notice folks, by myself, the Messiah says, I brought salvation unto me, and my fury, and it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Compare that to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him who is called Faithful and True, and the righteousness he doth judge and make war. The war of Armageddon. Just read about this in Isaiah. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with the vesture, same thing, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon high horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of the mouth of the sun goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. You know, all God had to do to create the world was speak a word. Let there be, and there was. And how shall Christ fight this battle? Let that million over there drop dead. Let that million over there drop dead. And just say the word. And they're gone. Just say the word. How can you fight a God with the power of the word? Let them come down upon that group over there of a million, one big fireball, and burn them all up. It's done. How can you fight a God like that? Let the earth open up over there and swallow 15 million people at one time. Whoop, it's done. Just one word. He'll spite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress. The same thing you read in Isaiah. Of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture, on his thigh, name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus talked about this very time in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then in the midst of all that darkness, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. He's saying me, folks, me, the Messiah. Then the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Don't know how it's all going to be seen by everybody, but that's what he says, and I'll leave that problem up to him. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 7. Comfort ye, my people, that's the Jews, says God. And he's speaking now these words to this time period. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is over, that her iniquity, now here's the Day of Atonement, here's the mercy seat, and her iniquity is pardoned. Why? She's going to repent. And she's going to accept Jesus Christ as her Messiah. I'll show that in a minute. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Heard that before? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God, because he's coming. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh, I don't know how, but all flesh shall see him. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Verse 5, all flesh shall see him coming. And to the same spot he ascended. It will be at this time that you have the national conversion of the remaining Jewish people who will accept Christ as their Messiah. And from the mercy seat in heaven will be sent word by the Son of their pardon and their restoration. It'll be brought by none other than their high priest. Look, if you will, at Psalms 110. Psalms 110. Only the high priest could go into the holy place on the Day of Atonement. He and he alone. And there he secured for the people, through the blood sacrifice, forgiveness, and came outside the tent and said to them, God has pardoned you for another year. This is more than that. But this could only be done by the high priest. The one who is coming in the clouds is the high priest who is coming from the mercy seat in heaven to give mercy to the Jewish people who have never believed in him but now will. Psalms 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. He's talking here about Christ. Thou art a priest. Only Christ is given this title in the Bible. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. At this moment, Christ is serving that office in heaven. He is now our high priest, interceding for us, gaining forgiveness for us through his shed blood. The Lord at thy right hand, now notice, says to the high priest at his right hand, Jesus, he shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. Who? The high priest. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. Just read you a bunch of scriptures here. Watch my time. Zechariah 3:9. The last part of the verse, verse 9. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day, the Day of Atonement. Zephaniah, just back up a couple of pages. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait upon me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the nations to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Verse 14. But sing, O daughter of Zion. Jews, you have a reason to sing now. Shout, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughters of Jerusalem. Why? We're going to be saved? Nah. The Lord hath taken away your judgment. And that is only done if you are forgiven. He hath cast out thy enemy, the king of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. And you shall not see evil ever again. Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 7, the middle part of the verse, the last part of the verse, I'm sorry, the first part says, the last, for that great day is great, none like it, this is the tribulation now, the awesome days. It's also called for the Jews, the Jacob's trouble period. But notice what it says at the end of that. But the Jews, he shall be saved out of it. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Verse 18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. And that's the tribulation. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and shall take away the transgression of Jacob. The Redeemer. Who is the Redeemer? It's Jesus Christ. They'll see that. Joel chapter 2. Back to Joel again if I can find him. Joel chapter 2. At times like that we ought to have a projector of all these scriptures on screen. Joel chapter 2. Especially when I can find things. Joel chapter 2. Oh, man. Joel chapter 2. Somewhere in here is Joel. Somebody has hid my book of Joel. There he is. Joel chapter 2. Verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. You also blow the shofar on the Day of Atonement. On the day of trumpets, you blow it all day, but on the Day of Atonement, you blow it once. Blow the trumpet, Zion, sound the alarm of my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes and is close at hand. Verse 6. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. Verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun, the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. He is strong. He executes his word. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can withstand it and abide? Therefore now, saith the Lord, turn, repent, while you have the chance. And when fasting and weeping and mourning, repent of your sins. And this is what the Jews do on Yom Kippur. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. There's your remnant of the Jews. If they'll call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And they do. Zechariah. Back to old Zach. Zechariah, chapter 12. What time is it? All right. No, got a lot more scriptures. We'll go on. Let's see this one. Then we'll quit. Zechariah, chapter 12. I get excited at all these verses. Chapter 12, verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, as I seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now notice, folks. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. Here comes the high priest from the Holy of Holies, from the mercy seat. Here he comes. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Brow of thorns pierced his brow, nails pierced his hands and feet, and a spear pierced his side. And they shall look upon the one. And Zechariah in the Old Testament, before Jesus was ever born, tells him that the day comes in the last day that you'll look at the one that you have pierced and you will mourn. How could we have been so blind? In all these 2,000 years, we've missed the kingdom blessings. We had him back there, and they'll see him coming. The high priest, who made atonement on the altar with his own blood, that's how you get the holes in the hands and the spear in the side. That's where you get the piercing from. and they'll see him, they whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. What a blunder we made. What a mistake we made. And they, in a sense, start kicking themselves for what they've done. And they shall mourn as one mourns for his only son, that is, some son that's died. And they shall be in bitterness because of what they see and what they realize. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem. And the land shall mourn. Every family shall mourn. Every Jew of the remnant will see the pierced body of the Messiah. And they'll all believe. And all accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Romans chapter 11. Gotta put this one in there. Romans chapter 11. You've got the list. You can take them back home and read the rest of them. Romans chapter 11. Because we're going to... I'll say a few more things next week before I leave this, because it's important that we do. But I'll close with this one. Romans chapter 11. Verse 25. Paul's talking about the Jews. For I would not... Now, he is a Jew. For I would not, brethren, that you ought to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Blindness, in part, has happened to the nation of Israel. They just now don't see Jesus as the Messiah. And that'll probably remain true until the fullness of the Gentiles. That means when the Gentiles finally quit ruling over Israel. But then in verse 26, he says, but at that time, A-L-L, all of Israel shall be saved. All of Israel shall be saved. For it is written, there shall come out of Zion their deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from all of Jacob. Father, we're thankful again this night for the Scriptures. And we're grateful this day to understand your plan of the future, which encompasses the salvation of the Jewish people and their acceptance of Christ as our Messiah. What a great day that will be. And yet may there be many Jews, even in this time period now, that have their eyes open and they see what they will later see, but as a result of a tribulation period. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.